You are a part of helping to see people come into the kingdom and to grow in the kingdom, to become disciplined followers of Jesus. That's what Jesus asked of us, wasn't he? He said, be my disciple. He didn't say, go make followers. He didn't say, go make converts, but what? To make disciples, those that would become his followers of Christ, disciplined to seek after him. Amen. And so that our lives, he didn't save us to stay the same. How many know that? Amen. He didn't save you just to be saved, but he has a purpose, a plan for your life. And we've been talking about that here for a while, but praise the Lord. We're so glad each and every one is here today. And my scripture today, Hebrews 6:12, over the offering. We believe that God wants us to give and be givers. Amen. We know that's true. I mean, Jesus, who's the biggest giver around? God, right? He gave that we might have. But we're not here to promise you many things in a legalistic way. See, when we use our faith, that's different, right? We're obeying God. We're walking with God. This is a relationship with him. And as we walk with him, he will instruct us, okay, as to what you have purpose in your heart to give. Under the New Testament, the Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Hallelujah. There's no pressure on you to give to this ministry. You follow what God has put in your heart. You seek him. But here we have a scripture today, Hebrews 6. Hold on, I missed my, what did I say, 6:11, I believe. I'm sorry, I'm going to cheat for a minute, 6:12, okay. I thought that was 6:12, here we go. Hebrews 6:12, that you be not slothful, and another word we could say for that would be maybe sluggish. Don't be slothful, or don't be, what, sluggish, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How many know that sometimes we have to have faith and patience as we're trusting God? Faith is being firmly persuaded. It's having that confidence that what God has said, he will do. He's going to take care of us. And when we are obedient to him, we follow him, we can't help ourselves. I know all of you, everyone here, I say it a lot, but all of us want to give more than we already do, don't we? Why? Because we have the heart of God in us. He's a giver. And we're not giving to me. We're not giving just here, but we're giving unto the Lord. We're saying, Lord, we're trusting you. And that we're going to be faithful, amen, and be followers of them who through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So that's our confession today. Everyone, let's just say this with me. I am not slothful, but I am a follower of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many are inheritors today? See, it's by inheritance, isn't it? It doesn't come from a legalistic way of giving, but it does come by inheritance when we trust him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are inheritors. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. All right. How many know what we've been talking about here lately, these last few weeks? We've been talking about the diversities or the different kinds of prayer when we pray in other tongues. And that's really what we've been talking about. And we found that there are four uses for the gift of tongues. And you say, well, why are you talking about that, Pastor Doug? Because there are many misunderstandings in the body of Christ. I don't care if you're, what church you go to, a lot of times, even in Pentecostal churches, there's been misunderstandings. Even in a charismatic way, there's misunderstanding of the use and the gift of the ministry that God has given us of praying in other tongues. Now, we found that, number one, there's tongues for what? Personal edification, and we talked about that the last couple of weeks quite more in depth, where we can personally, when we receive the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, they begin to speak, Acts 2:4, as they were given what? The utterance, the initial language that you have between you and your Father. Okay? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see where he mentions the diversities of tongues here in the 28th verse. When we go down, he says he's given some in the church, some of what in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities are different kinds of tongues. In other words, are different manifestations, the way they are manifest. And that's what we said. The first one, tongues for personal edification. If we look in the 14th chapter, we don't speak to men. Verse 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. However, in the Spirit, we're talking mysteries or divine secrets with God. That's you and God. That's our personal language that you have. And we know that we can pray in that. We become the steward of that particular gift. It is the one diversity of tongues that we can pray in as we desire, that we become the steward of. And we see that here in verse 14 and 15 of the same chapter. Because here is a chapter that was devoted, that Paul is explaining to the people the differences. He's explaining how they operate, and he's going back and forth. He's saying, hey, this is a tongue to be interpreted in the service, right? That was tongues for interpretation. Okay? But we're talking about right now tongues for your own use, for your own self, to build ourselves up. Verse 14, he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will. How many know that's a choice? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Now, when you talk to somebody, or you sit down to talk to your husband or wife, or to a friend, or a family member, or anyone, you know, don't you just decide you will to speak, don't you? Amen. In the same way, when we're talking to God, we will, by our own will, we have the authority to speak in that language as we will to God in the supernatural empowerment of tongues. And we said that that is as supernatural as raising the dead. Why? Because it does not originate with you. It originates with God. He sends it to our spirit, and through our spirit, we yield our voice, our tongue to him, and pray it to the Father. So you really have the Holy Spirit supernaturally praying the will of God out for our life. How awesome is that? How powerful is that? We can then realize, what are we doing? Verse 4, he said that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself or builds himself up. But he that prophesies edifies the church. In other words, if you're praying in other tongues, you may come to the place where you receive that word for someone or for yourself, even to the body of Christ. Ultimately, it is a prayer to be answered. You are speaking, like verse 2 said, those divine mysteries, those things that are not a mystery to God, but they're mysteries to us. They may be things about the Word of God, things about your own life, but you are praying them out. And we said, hey, we've got all that power in here. How am I going to get it out working for me? How many know when God spoke the world, he used what? Words, didn't he? When we begin to pray in other tongues, we're using words that God gives us that supernaturally are building us up. Where are they building us up? Above things that hinder us in our natural fleshly person. Okay? How many know that all of us have a body? And your body has some fleshly desires, doesn't it? Okay? You also have a natural mind. Just like you have a spiritual mind, you have a natural mind. And sometimes that natural mind has to be, what? Taken captive, don't we? We have to take our thoughts captive. We have to overcome certain thoughts. How many know the enemy can bring thoughts? And sometimes he wants you to believe that your thought, doesn't he? He wants you to believe that your thought. And sometimes it's really not. It's not your thought. But he came. But we don't have to let it stay, do we? See, there are things of this natural life and perhaps some things that were left over from when, you know, you were in the world or ways of the world that came to you. And you say, man, I'm still having some struggles in certain things. But we know that Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, in connection here with verse 4, which says that we edify ourselves in 1 Corinthians 14 there. But verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, where are we praying ourselves? If we look at verse 19, it says these, he's talking about those that had come in deception. They have not the Spirit. They're not following after God. It says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual or sense-ruled, having not the Spirit. They were being what? Ruled by what they see, what they feel, what you taste, what you touch. But you, beloved, are not like them, but you're building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking divine secrets with God. Hallelujah. Woo! I tell you, it will change your life. Because, and it has much to do, it has a lot, a great influence on our walk in the Spirit. It is a doorway into many of the other gifts of the Spirit and ultimately into a deeper and greater fellowship with God. Now you say, well, why is it so important? Well, number one, it's set apart specifically for the church age. It wasn't under the Old Testament. Now all the other things happened, miracles, prophecy. They had all kinds of signs and wonders, right? They had discerning of spirits sometimes. I mean, how many remember when Saul would call David in and he would play his harp and it seems like the demons would leave him and he seemed to have open doors, though, didn't he? You know, his doors seemed to swing back the other way, and next thing you know, he's getting that spear and he's throwing it at David. Thank God that David made friends, amen, with his friend Jonathan. Thank God with his own son, Solomon's son. A lot of times we don't realize that, don't remember, but see, David was married to, Saul. Anyway, he was after David, but he was his father-in-law, really. And David seemed to have that relationship with him, didn't he? To where, hey, you know, when he was in trouble, he would call upon him. Hey, let me know if I need to run. You know, if the arrow goes beyond you, David, keep on going. And how many know David had to run sometimes? And now we have a relationship with someone on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit himself. And he can bring revelation and understanding to our life. When we need to stay, when we need to go, when we need to maybe run. When the enemy comes, or to stand and to fight. We begin to gain that understanding and that wisdom. And there's nothing he's going to hide from us if we'll continue, if we'll be faithful, if we'll keep praying and we don't stop and we continue to seek him. It is a prayer to be answered. And most of the time it comes through wisdom, through that revelation knowledge, through the understandings of the Word of God. And God begins to guide us and lead us. And we also said remember, the Holy Spirit, He's not separate, or He's not going to tell you something that's not a principle of God's Word. It's not a part of His Word. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God agree. So it's not going to be some weird thing out here. It may not make sense to the natural mind, but somewhere we'll find that in the leadership of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And it is God's desire that each and every one of us every day continue to walk with Him. Maybe we're not there yet. We're all growing. We're all maturing. But He wants to have that relationship with you so close and so pure, where we are not confused. We are not wondering what to do today, but we hear His guidance. We hear His leading. And it's better for us, if we listen carefully, to do one thing that we know God is saying do today than 1,000 things in our own flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. If He gives us one thing, and many times, as we're preparing and seeking Him, it might be He wants you to spend some extra time in worship, or extra time in the Word of God, or extra time in praying. And so we need to be listening and continually walking after that Spirit. Hallelujah. And so we said that, and then we talked about also tongues here for interpretation, which He said here, he that... So He said, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 14, 5, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may be edified. And here He's sharing, He said, in the church, if you're all gathered together and someone has a supernatural utterance, they sense that utterance come. There's usually an anointing on that, and sometimes you'll have one person, you know, but you may sense it and pick it up, see? Other people can sense the moving of the Spirit too. It's not just the pastor. It's not just one. But you may sense that, and someone gives a message in tongues, and maybe the same person or another person may interpret that. And so that is for what? The edification of the body. Now, that can't be done anytime we want to. We can't just decide, I'm going to give a message in tongues and interpret. Can we? Anybody here? Understand? Because He said, it is as what? The Spirit wills. Now, our own prayer language is for us speaking to God, like we talked, for our own edification. That's any time we want. That is the only one that's for any time. Now, we said, so that's tongues there for interpretation. And tongues for interpretation is the equal, it says, to prophecy. In other words, it's for the building up of the body of Christ. And hopefully, the pastor's praying in tongues, and he's gaining the message from the Holy Spirit, from God. He's teaching the Word of God to him. He's bringing the message, maybe not what he knows, but what he hears God saying. God is saying, hey, we need to understand praying in tongues. And if you don't understand it, and you say, well, I already got it, I understand, Pastor, I know this very well. Well, good. Then you'll be available and strengthened in what you already believe, and you'll be able to share with someone else who maybe doesn't know. Because it's a big confusion. Big confusion in the body. I'm sorry to say that. I mean, even within, you know, even some churches in the same denomination, I've seen confusion. And that's unfortunate, because it is clear, it is in the Bible, and somebody needs to focus on it, because it needs to come to fruition. We need to realize this is an important part of us walking in the Spirit, of praying in other tongues, spending time with Him and letting Him use us. We also talked about tongues for prayer or intercession, okay? That is intercessional groanings. In other words, there are times we don't know how to pray as we ought. And yes, we pray in tongues. And yes, the Holy Spirit helps us and He takes it together. In Romans 8:26, He says He takes hold together with us against something. Against what? The infirmities of our flesh. Okay, Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And that just means helpeth. I say that means to take hold together. And our infirmities. In other words, we cannot produce a result because we are limited with the weaknesses of this fleshly body. How many know we're born again, but we're still on the earth? We have to have a body to live here. And through this body, the Holy Spirit will help our infirmity, our inability. And we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Spirit Himself makes intercession. It may be for us, it may be for others. With what? With groanings which cannot be uttered. They can't be uttered because we don't know what to pray for. They couldn't be uttered in our natural speech. We couldn't do it in our natural selves, but the Holy Spirit helps us, and then He can slip us into those places as He wills, sometimes for intercession in behalf of another. In other words, you can obviously supplicate and pray and believe for your lost loved ones. I wanted to say something because I know Jim came up and she says, well, we're finally going to pray for the lost. We have prayed for the lost, but we're going to increase that prayer more for the city. We pray for a lot of people that have called in that aren't saved, and we're still praying for the lost. But just to correct that for sure, know that we have been praying for the lost, but we're increasing that. God is saying it's time for us to really intercede and let Him take hold together with us against and believe God. We can't, how many know you can't make, you cannot make intercessional groanings yourself. You can't make it come to pass. This is a part that we have to yield to the Holy Spirit. But of course, as we pray in the Spirit and we're building ourselves up, we're making ourselves available. Does that make sense? We make ourselves what? Available for His use. And how many know there are times as we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He may come on you, pray now. Pray now. It's an emergency. Someone's in trouble. Someone may be dying. I remember a particular lady. She was in, I think it was in Cambodia, and she was there ministering, and she got very ill, and it looked like she was going to die. I mean, she was on the verge of death. But praise the Lord, some of the people that knew her caught wind, some, you know, by the Spirit, they began to cry out to God. Two or three of them, they just, the Spirit of prayer just fell on them, and they begin to pray. They begin to really intercede in the Spirit with travail and moving for their, they didn't know what was wrong. They didn't really know the problem, but they begin to pray, but later found at the same time she was really sick and looks like she's going to die, they had been praying, and they continued to pray. And she came out of that and fully recovered. And it was not looking good at all. But how many know? The Holy Spirit knows. And when we're sensitive to Him, because we spend our own time building ourselves up, then we're sensitive to Him to slip us into those things. When someone is in a desperate situation, or maybe yourself, okay? And then, of course, we mentioned there's tongues also as a sign to the unbeliever, and that's when God supernaturally either uses you to speak in a supernatural tongue to people, or they understand. We saw that on the day of Pentecost, where they all begin to what? Understand in their own language. How many think God loves your message if He causes them to hear without an interpreter? You know, they said, then they talked to you, when did you start learning Spanish? When did you start learning my language? I didn't know your language, but somehow they heard it in that language, or perhaps you spoke that language. And that's only happened to me that I know of a couple of times, one time for sure that I knew of when I was talking to a Native American, and it just happened to happen, and I started speaking in some tongues, and he understood me and talked back to me, and I answered him, and God did His thing. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes There are supernatural things that could take place. And I'm not blowing up, you know, it's not something, you know, it's not like a sign. Well, it's a sign to the unbeliever. And so you get that unbeliever and you start praying in tongues to them and it's a sign to them, all right. They think you're crazy. They're sure you're crazy. You know, sight unseen, I don't need any more. I know he's crazy now. Or she, right? Amen. The Bible says that if they don't understand. And so they can't understand if they're not born again. They really don't. But if you reveal the secrets of men's hearts, the Holy Spirit shared something with you and you share that with them, that's a little different, isn't it? Amen. That's a word that you may get, but it came through you praying, through you surrendering. But tongues as a sign to the unbelievers, when he supernaturally deals that, the Holy Spirit transcends our intellect, empowering us to speak, preach, or teach in any language on the face of the earth of which we have no previous knowledge. And that's happened to different people. I know when they were first, I believe they met in Topeka, Kansas, when Brother Seymour opened his school and they were trying to find out about this speaking in tongues. And some of the people received full languages and went to different nations and began to preach and teach. And they could supernaturally had learned a language. Now, I'm not saying that happens all the time. It's okay, you know, but sometimes it does. I have a friend, he didn't supernaturally learn it, but he did supernaturally learn to read it. He said he couldn't read anything else, but he could read a Bible in a foreign language. And he definitely quickly learned the language, and within 3 months, he was interpreting for people. And so God can speed up that process. He can give it to us. He can certainly help us. So anyway, those are the four uses of tongues. What is it? Tongues for what? Personal edification. We build ourselves up. Tongues that may be interpreted in a service for interpretation. Tongues for intercession, intercessional groanings as the Spirit wills. Okay, now, and then the fourth one was tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. Now, these are all important, but usually, and the way these come to pass is a lot of times we first enter in our own language, in our own time with the Holy Spirit. And as we're learning that, you see, it's kind of hard to use somebody if they're not used to being used at all. Okay, if we never use that language and we don't pray at all in tongues, how many know it makes it kind of hard to slip you into some other things? But if we're already in that vein and we're already open to Him, we're praying in other tongues, He's guiding us, He's leading us, then He can lead us right into some of these other things. Hallelujah. Tongues for and to become successful in our prayer life. Glory to God. And to become successful in walking in the Spirit and to let some of these other manifestations take place in our life or open. Now, even though I know it's very, very important as we edify ourselves, well, I want us to remember that we also have to understand there's a purpose that as we edify ourselves within that, many times we find within ourselves what the Bible calls strongholds. Anybody here ever found something in your life that you didn't like? Maybe it was a certain sin, or maybe it was just a fault or a weakness that you don't like. You said, man, I find myself and I just can't seem to overcome that. But you begin to see it more and more in your life as you prayed in other tongues. Hallelujah. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10. And you begin to see these things. And what we find is a lot of times when people begin to be consistent praying in other tongues on a daily basis, maybe an hour, maybe you pray a little more than that, but you're consistent. These strongholds tend to appear. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is like a flashlight. He brings the light. Have you ever taken a flashlight and gone up into an attic? Anybody here at all? and you went up there and you didn't say, oh, look at all the dust this light brought. No, you said the light exposed the dust that was already there. And so what begins to happen is the Holy Spirit begins to reveal things that may be strongholds in our heart, and He brings them forth for us to see. They're not for to us to it, they're for us to see, but not for us to stay in that place. He brings the light so that we can see it, and normally He has already actually built you above that thing. So now the light has come. He strengthened you, which I can't do. I said, you may see some things in your life, but when the Holy Spirit strengthens you, He brings the power for you to walk free of it. See, I can't bring that, but He can. And He brings those things up to the light, and we begin to say, hey, there's a, what we call what? A stronghold. It says, verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, what? To the pulling down of stronghold. Well, what's a stronghold? It's a system of thought that's empowered by an emotion most of the time. How many know the enemy a lot of times? He'll use your emotions. If he can get you all stirred up, just right, playing the right games with you, he can get you stirred up. So what? That you do it. See, he can't make us do anything. But he's been studying man for how long? Like 6,000 years, right? He knows how men think. He knows how you and I think. He knows how people work. And he, if he can stir you up in your emotions, see, he'll get you. That's his hope. He's going to get you to what? Oh! They're going off the handle again. There they go. It's going to happen. They're going to blow up. That anger is going to overtake them. That fear is going to cause them to go off the rails. You know, they're going to go do something else. Or we get distressed. We get under pressure. We allow the enemy, the peace of God, leaves us. Or we are in need of that. And so here we see that system begins to come up, that system of thought that came to you. Maybe it was something from, you know, your past or something someone said, and you had thought about it so long. I had fear. Like, let me give you an example. In my life, I had a lot of fear. I didn't even realize I was really walking in that fear. But as I continue to pray in the Spirit, continue to seek God on a daily basis, I was praying, you know, every day, at least an hour, sometimes much more. So I'm praying, and this fear began to rise up in me, and the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me, that's what you're dealing with. You are in fear. And I'm thinking, I'm in fear? You know, if someone asked me, if you asked me, oh, Brother Doug, do you fear? Do you have any fear? No, I don't have fear in my life. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anybody that I know of. In myself. But I found that fear had been dictating to me since I was 5 years old. I said, my God, Lord, you know, and you're thinking, wow, that's a long time, Pastor Doug. That's a while. Till I was, at that time, I think it was 28, 29 years old, and fear had dictated to me. I was letting it rule my life. It was telling me how I felt and what I thought, and a lot of it was fear of authority, fear of different things like that. And I had to root that out of my life. So, well, how did you get that out of your life? Well, number one, I kept praying. Number two, I got the Word of God, and I began to learn about what fear is. I haven't been given a spirit of fear. See, we've got to still, even though God reveals something, it's up to us to work with Him to get it out of our life. It's not just going to supernaturally. See, I used to think, well, if I keep praying in tongues, it'll just supernaturally slap that out of my life. But that's not necessarily so. I have to decide and say, okay, Lord, I see that in my life. Now He's going to help me and instruct me what to do and what I can do to get that out of my life. How many know that the Word of God is important? So I realized my stronghold is what? Fear. But my freedom is what? He said, perfect love casts out all fear. And he also said, I haven't been given that spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So my old man or my fleshly man may think I have fear, may say I have fear, and it may feel I have fear, and all my emotions are telling me, and it was true. There was fear that was dominating me, but I also have a nature in me that was from my Father that gives me power over all strongholds. And so I have to take those thoughts captive, right? I have to begin to realize and recognize fear in my life. And it took me about 2 years to bring it to a head. He said, 2 years? My goodness. I said, yeah, it did take me that long, I'm sorry to say, but praise the Lord. What I'm happy about is I got free anyway. Hallelujah. The Lord brought it to a head. And one day it left me. It totally left me. I spent some time in prayer and had been thanking God that I'm free of the spirit of fear, doing things afraid sometimes. He would have me do certain things on purpose when I felt fear, and I had to do it anyway. You said, well, why? Because I had to overcome that spirit of fear, not just in the spirit, but in doing certain things in the natural, and it overcame my fear of that particular, at least in that particular area. I was being freed and set free. And I'm telling you, when I got delivered and free, I call it delivered, but, you know, I got that freedom and that sense and understood, hey, my acceptance does not come from what men think about me. I'm not afraid of you anymore. I didn't have to fear. God had placed me in a particular place where my boss was kind of harsh. It says, and at least that was my understanding. I'm just saying sometimes we have different understandings of what the reality is, but there's different things, and I could never find any way. He was never pleased. I'll just say that. He was never pleased with me. But I found that my pleasing was to please the Father. And when I knew that I was doing a good job and I was doing my work unto the Lord and I was doing it right and I was following, you know, what the boss had said anyway, that's enough for me. I am accepted by my Father. He accepts me. I am accepted, and I'm doing the right thing anyway. And it wasn't too long after that that he was no longer there. Now, you said, well, what happened? Well, there were some different things that happened in his own self. And I had been praying also. The Lord taught me to pray for him and to pray for different things and different instances that would take place, how to operate in it. I remember we were working on this tractor one time, and he was getting all upset and angry. The Lord spoke to me. He said, just whatever he tells you, do it. Yeah, he's putting those blades on backwards. Lord, I should tell him. You know, no, you just do whatever he tells you. Hand me this wrench, hand me that wrench, so forth. Okay. I remember I'm there, and out of my heart, the Lord said, ask him if he's ready to take a break. Hey, you ready to take a break? It's about break time. Yeah, let's take a break. So we take a break. Come back, and of course, his mind's in a different frame, and he realized, hey, we put these on backwards. Thank you, Lord, without my telling, because if I told him, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. I learned that. This is just the kind of personality he had, I'm just saying. And sometimes we have to walk through some things, but the Holy Spirit was teaching me, overcome what you feel on the inside of you, and don't let them dominate you, and don't let fear control you anymore. And therefore, I could say to him, he would take me around sometimes. We'd go around. I was in charge of 14 acres, and he was in charge of 5 acres around the house, which was manicured, you know. And so I'm out working the acreage, and he called me up for 4 hours around the house. And then we go for a ride. Well, let's take a ride. Well, how come this limb's not down? What's wrong with that tree? How come these aren't done yet? I said, well, if you know, probably because you took me around the house for 4 hours, and I didn't have time to finish that yet. You know, so there's things that happen, but we need to understand. But I understand, hey, God is my Father. I'm accepted already. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted by my Father. I am free of that spirit of fear. I do not have to be controlled by it, and it will not control me. And for about 10 days, I sensed and felt like I'm on cloud nine. I thought, man, maybe I got saved again. You know, it almost felt that good. And, But the Lord began to talk to me about those 10 days in. He said, now, son, I want you to understand something. I know you sense this. I know you feel this. But even though you don't feel it, doesn't mean you're not free. It's going to come down. I come back and you kind of get used to that next place in Him. And then He may bring you again to another layer of things. And so these are different things that God began to deal in my life. I remember when He began to talk to me, I mentioned this before, and these are strongholds that can rise up in our prayer life. Why? Because praying in tongues is going to edify us or build us up and bring about the change that God desires in our life. He didn't save us to stay the same. We're not going to stay the same if we'll continue to pray, continue to seek Him, and continue to trust Him. He will bring you to the place where those things will come to a head, and He will set you free. He'll build you up above it. He will set you free from every single one. It's kind of like this. One time He explained to me, it's kind of like this tissue box. He doesn't take the tissue box and reach in and pull out all these tissues, but He may take out one thing at a time until that box is finally empty and He fills you with all of Him until nothing left. In us, the enemy has no handles left in us to try to destroy our life, or he doesn't have access, and we are free to be filled with him to the brim, so that there is no access. The enemy can no longer control that flesh. Does that mean we'll have no temptation? No, but he won't be able to stop you any longer, because you know that every day I'm up, I die daily. I continue to allow the Lord to continue to push me and change me and bring me to the fullness in Him till He can do what He so desires with our life. And so that is an important concept that we need to realize, that the enemy does continue to build us up, but we're going to face some things in our own life. You said, well, where else is that in the Bible, John? Have you ever read John 15? Let's go to John 15 for a minute. How many heard of the vine and the branch? Jesus says, I am the vine, right here, 15:1. I'm the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears fruit, He takes away. That beareth not fruit, He takes away. Those that are in Him, we don't bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, doesn't he? He purgeth it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God wants you to be fruit-bearing. Such things as what? Love. First of all, the fruits of your reborn spirit coming forward. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control or temperance. Amen. Hallelujah. All of us need that in every year of our life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. But we are clean through the word, which I've spoken to you. He says, abide in me. I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Now see, as we are fellowshipping with Him in the Spirit, in prayer, in the Word of God, we are building ourselves up, and He is said, I am going to prune you. I am that vine. You're the branch. He that abides in Him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's a dependency upon Him. And what the Holy Spirit taught me is when I begin to pray, when I begin to seek Him, it is me giving my life to Him. I'm allowing Him to have His way. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, do your work in me. I yield my tongue to you. I yield this prayer to you, Lord. I begin to pray in other tongues. I can pray while I'm driving, while I'm in the shower, other things as well. And train ourselves to pray on a more consistent basis. I'm not talking about praying out loud while walking down the street so that they think I'm a homeless person who's nuts. But I can pray to myself and to God quietly. No one even has to know I'm praying. But sometimes it takes a little practice. It takes a developing. It takes a moving. And everything, ultimately, everything you are in everything He is in you, everything that God is to you, and everything He wants to go come through you will ultimately be what comes forth. And so, hallelujah. That's what I want to challenge us today. Let's keep thinking about that. And let's not run away when strongholds come, but realize God is here. He's getting ready. It's time to get a little excited, even though sometimes it doesn't feel fun to the flesh. But it's going to be taken out of my life. So what? The life of Christ can come forth more fully. I'm telling you, there's some times that I've received some great freedoms. I like, wow, you know, I know. There was some things in my life. I felt like the Lord was telling me. I kind of made a vow almost, or a what would you call the Holy Spirit? It was kind of like a death to part of my emotions. And I had done this when I was 10 years old, but I didn't know that. God showed it to me as I began to pray, and I knew He wanted to show me something that day, and I was kind of nervous, to be honest. I'm just being telling the truth. I said, Lord, I know You're trying to tell me something today, and my flesh, you know, I kept pulling myself away, and so finally I had to make my decision. No, I'm going in here, Lord. I'm going to stay, and I stayed. It took me a couple hours, but I got in there, and the Lord began to reveal to me. I call it a memory. Some would say maybe it was a video or whatever, and I can't tell you how I knew, but I knew I was 10 years old, and I was standing on the back porch of the house, and my mother was there, and there was something that happened. I didn't know how to deal with it. I was very emotional at the time and very upset, and I said, oh, I'll just kill myself. And I took off, and I walked down the driveway to this old truck we had out in the field, and I got up in there, and I sat down, and you know, I'm kind of pouting like a child would, and I felt... And I know this is crazy, but I'm 10 years old, and I felt like, oh, you know, the worst has happened to me. This is just the end. I just felt terrible. I mean, I can't explain that, but it seemed like, you know, like maybe if someone had been through divorce or lost a business or something like that, you know, you feel empty. There was a big loss in me, and what happened in this particular places, Jesus came and opened the door to the truck, and I got out, and me and Him put His arm around me like a father would. See, God wants to father you. He wants to talk to you where you hurt. He wants to fellowship with you in the areas that hurt in your life. And I didn't even realize I was hurt in that area. But He put His arm around me and began to walk toward the house, and we got about, three quarters of the way. He's just like walking me back to the house like, it's going to be all right, son. It's okay. And He stopped and looked me straight in the eye. And He said this to me. He said, I think You're the best. And up out of my spirit, I can't explain it fully, but a power and a release filled me and flew off. And after that day, I entered into some things, even just with Him, that I had not experienced before. And He and I began a different, you know, it was another, like another phase, we might say level, you know, with God. And it was just another dimension, another deeper walk, a closer walk with Him. And certain things began to take place out of that. And I began to have some ministry opportunities, and different things began to flourish, but I needed that release. I needed that freedom. I needed to understand what my Father thinks of me. He thinks we're the best. Even, see, He could have said, you know, I think you're good. But that means somebody could be better. He says, no, I think you're the best. Even in the midst of pain, in the midst of what I felt like was a failure to me, I felt like the biggest failure in my life. And I believe that's part of what lifted off of me, is that sense of failure that the enemy had placed upon my life through different circumstances and different things in my life, even though I was a Christian and I loved God. You know, the enemy can still come and plant thoughts and bring things that people say and bring them to you in the way I believe he works on both sides. Sometimes people say things they don't realize that hurt deeply. And sometimes we see it in a way causes us to see it maybe in the wrong way too. You know, so there's both sides of things. But anyway, in that freedom that he wants to bring, there's you. He wants to bring freedom to you. It's not a thing to be ashamed of. It's not something that be discouraged about, but it's something to start getting excited because he's going to bring you to a new place in him, a new joy in him, a new freedom in him, a new love in him. Perhaps you need to be like me. I need to get a little more assertive. Praise God. I'm working on it. Thank you, Jesus. Me and him are overcoming, and I'm being free. I'm not going to be controlled by the enemy. I don't know about you. We're not to be controlled. We're to be controlled by one person, and that's the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we yield ourselves to him and walk with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.